Blog Talk Radio.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Thank you.
Saints. We read verse 6 that said that she's drunken with the blood of the stake, buried alive, drowned, you name it. And it's just, it's a shocking history.
You see, this Donald Trump is regularly boasted of his pro-Israel record. He did it again as he signed a new executive order, this time aimed at fighting what the White House sees as a growing problem of anti-Semitism on university campuses across the U.S.
This is our message to universities. If you want to accept the tremendous amount of federal dollars that you get every year, you must reject anti-Semitism.
It extends past the 1964 Civil Rights Act. It allows the Department of Education to withhold federal funding from any college that discriminates on the grounds of race, color, or national origin. That now is extended to a religion. The critics say that effectively suggests Jews are a people who share the same race or collective national origin.
Now, it's interesting, you know, the Pope, while he's the head of the Catholic Church, he's also the pastor of a specific congregation. It's the church in Rome. It's called the Lateran Church. And here is a plaque that you find today that is in marble on the Lateran Church in Rome, where the Pope is the pastor. It's like, I direct amazing facts, but I also pastor a church. Well, the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church, but he also has a congregation. This is a church, and it says here, this is the Latin translation, the sacred Lateran mother and head of all churches of the city and the world. So they claim the title, mother. Here's the next one.
Number D, it says she has harlot daughters who also are fallen. Revelation chapter 14, it says Babylon is fallen, and she's said to be the mother of harlots. So if a woman represents a church, that which would constitute her daughters would be those churches that are holding to the teachings and the doctrines of the mother church. And so we're talking not only about the papal power, but we're also talking about those Protestant churches that are holding to the same doctrines and teachings that originate from the mother church and are not found in the Bible.
Yeah, if you have a daughter, is going to usually resemble her mother, maybe not completely, because the father hopefully had some influence. But in the same way, the Protestant churches, though they came out and tried to come back to the Bible, they still, as one pastor put it, they still had in their bosom relics of popery. They still clung to a lot of those foundational teachings.
The diocese priest Thomas Skocek raped a young girl, got her pregnant, and then that priest arranged for an abortion. Bishop James Timlin expressed his feelings in a letter. He wrote, "This is a very difficult time in your life, and I realize how upset you are. I too share your grief." Except the bishop's letter was not for the girl. The bishop wrote that letter to the rapist to make it easier to target their victims. The priest gave their favorite boys gifts, gold crosses to wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse.
The report also described the priest who quit after being the subject of many child abuse complaints, but he asked for and received, according to this report, a letter of recommendation for work at Disneyland.
The grand jury found evidence that over 300 priests had sexually abused more than 1,000 victims, and the church had systematically attempted to cover it up.
The grand jury reports the truth is bishops and other Catholic church leaders covered up the crimes and obstructed justice in order to avoid scandal, and that the same leaders persuaded victims not to report the abuse and police officers not to investigate the abuse.
Case after case, the report says, church leaders maintained a circle of silence, and for a time, some of the diocese sought to prevent the entire report from ever seeing the light of day. In effect, they wanted to cover up the cover-up. They sought to do the same thing that senior church leaders in the diocese we investigated have done for decades. Bury the sexual abuse by priests upon children and cover it up forever.
Pennsylvania is not a unique case.
Yeah.
It's all over the U.S., all over the world. I'm here in Chile where the Cardinal Archbishop of the capital city of Santiago tomorrow is going to testify in front of the jury as a target witness of cover-up. So it's all over the world. Yeah. It's horrific.
The abuse in Boston extended over 6 decades, involving over 230 priests and more than 750 victims. It now appears that the church in Kerala is having its own spotlight moment of the sexual abuse of women and also of minors by priests.
Over the past 45 years, 4,444 victims have come forward to allege some form of child sexual abuse. Those victims identified 1,880 male and female perpetrators, including priests, religious sisters, and religious brothers, plus another 500 people unidentified.
Nearly 80 Catholic clergy across Chile have been accused of sexually abusing minors over the last several decades.
He handles up to 60 cases at a time and says it's the tip of the iceberg because bishops can investigate cases in their own diocese without bringing them to his tribunal.
There are 82 jurisdictions in the Philippines, 82. I suppose if they'll send the cases all here, I might come.
In early 2013, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles released thousands of pages revealing that in the 1980s, Cardinal Mahoney and a top aide tried to shield admitted sex abusers from law enforcement.
We acted very appropriately with many times removal of ministry totally and completely.
Did you ever move priests quietly to another?
That wasn't our process.
But according to the grand jury, in 1991, Wall reassigned an accused priest, Ernest Leon, to the Reno Diocese. In 1995, he returned George Zuloff, who the report says was a member of a pedophile ring, to ministry. Wall even presided over Zuloff's funeral. He also approved monthly sustenance payments of up to $1,000 to Richard Zula, also a member of the pedophile ring, after Zula's release from prison.
The Catholic Church has allowed priests accused of sexually abusing children in the United States and Europe to escape their past by moving to parishes in poor, remote corners of the developing world. This, despite ongoing pledges from the new Pope to clean up the Church's record on abuse scandals. Over one of the men we found continue to work as priests, enjoying the privilege, respect, and unfettered access to young people that comes with being a member of the Church.
Imelda claims two Church members then paid her $160 to keep silent.
The Church paid Dennis compensation in return for his silence.
But would we give him money? $9,000 to not press charges.
Jose Andres Murillo, now 43, claimed Father Karadima sexually abused him in the 1990s while he trained to become a priest. He says many Chileans initially refused to believe the allegations.
How were you treated? What were you called? You were gays or enemies of the church or trying to destroy the moral and the ethics of our country? It was very, very, very hard.
He had seven barristers here questioning me. I told him I was telling lies when I told him that I got raped on a Saturday. Got a merciful beating after it. And then stopped on the day. He came along the following morning and put all the communion in my mouth. You don't know what happened there. My God. Seven barristers. Four questions at us. Non-stop. I attempted to commit suicide. There's the woman who saved me from committing suicide on my way down from Dublin after spending 5 days at the commission. 5 days I spent at the commission. They brought a man over from Rome, 90-odd years of age, to tell me I was telling lies. That I wasn't beaten for an hour, non-stop, by two of them. By two of them, non-stop, from head to toe, with a shredded cloth on my body. My God, Minnesota. That woman has said how many times I jump out into bed at night with the sweat pumping out of me because I see these fellas at the end of the bed with their fingers doing that to me and pulling me into the room to rape me, to bother me, and beat the shit out of me.
I'm saying zero tolerance prospectively. Everybody's on the same page. If this ever happens again, that's it.
Every bishop is the ruler of his own diocese and reports only directly to the Pope. And so every bishop was following his own policy. Some were more proactive. Some were completely negligent. And some were criminal in that they were covering up known abusers and failing to report them to law enforcement.
We have to come to a standard, not of zero tolerance, but a standard of forgiveness.
Here's what one bishop told the Guardian newspaper. Politicians can change the law, but we can't change the nature of the confessional, which is a sacred encounter between a penitent and someone seeking forgiveness and a priest representing Christ. It doesn't affect us. Basically, they're saying they won't follow the law. They don't follow the law.
Vatican says that it will now, and for some time said, it will cooperate with local authorities, meaning that they will turn over accused abusive priests and so on to local authorities for prosecution. Victims and their families want the Vatican to be held more accountable. The Vatican says that it will be in the future.
The Pope condemned the atrocities suffered by at least 1,000 minors at the hands of more than 300 clergy members over 70 years. Short of offering concrete steps to remove abusive priests or sanction those who took part in cover-ups.
Does the Church's response give you any faith?
Well, it's the same old response. The Pope didn't tell us who the 30 names are in the redacted report. You know, the Attorney General wants to tell us who the names are. He's dying to tell us who the names are and where they are, in whose neighborhoods that they're in, and whose children that they're around. But he's forbidden because the lobbyist and the people that pay for the churches, but also people who pay these lobbyists and these law firms, were successful at getting them redacted, and they're successful at getting legislation squashed down in the Republican House Senate.
Bien, 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 bien.
Diocese priest Thomas Skocek raped a young girl, got her pregnant, and then that priest arranged for an abortion.
All right. Well, we heard enough. Tape number 10. Let's see if we're going to be on stage for tonight's tape number 10. We got, I see one of the young lions on here. Brother Titus, up and coming teacher out of Cameroon. Now, Brother Titus, Yahweh be with
yes,
you.
Yes, sir. Yahweh bless you there. See Israel and see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Okay, hallelujah, Father. I got a question for you, young lion. If you had to, now you heard what you heard. Now, what part will you put a lesson together on what you just got to hear? What would be your first topic that you will put your starting point of a lesson? So, young lion, what would be, tell us this national audience before we get up from Luke 12, check on the mothers. Tell me one thing. If you had to put a lesson together, what would be topic number one? You own. Come on.
All right. What would be topic number one?
Okay. Yes.
What would be topic number one? Okay. It'll be... it'd be I would start with okay. All right.
Well, you taking? Hold on, that young line. You taking too long. Come up there. You gotta maybe compound on that. Let's go a little further. Cause remember, we live all over the known world. We live on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, Facebook, and we live on YouTube. And you ain't getting to it quick enough. So let's see if we go out and find our brain mother in. We just gonna get something going on. Set something for you to think about, that young line. What would be your first topic that you would deal with on what you just got through here? One thing about it, a man or woman of Yahweh have to compounder what they're hearing first, then they have to comment on it, because that's what they do.
Well,
Mother E, Bible Yahweh Judah. Hey, Mother E, coming on stage for take 10. Yahweh be there, see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. I see you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh there, Mother E. I think you and the rest of the mothers got to get together, and these young lions is not paying total attention. Y'all might have to beat their back a little bit, so maybe you have to kind of bring that old nice belt that got them little stingers in there and beat their back a little bit, because they got to respond more quicker than that. No doubt about it. And we know Mother Z is in the table trying to hear something to give a commentary on tape 10 after she hears something, but she heard enough. So we'll bring Mother Z in a little bit later to give her commentary on tape 10. But right now, Young Lion, Bubba Titus, Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see if we can get going on there, Young Lion. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you at the same hour what you ought to say."
That's right, Young Lion. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit do the teaching. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. So we're going to open up there, Young Lion, in Revelation chapter 2. And this is end time prophecy. So in Revelation chapter 2, John from 1:17 through 19 and 4:1, what he writing is about is the hereafter. So anything you read from 1:17 through 19 and 4:1, that's John writing the hereafter. So let's see what he got written that we can read in Revelation chapter 2, tape 10, 9 through 11. What did it say there, Young Lion? Come on.
Anti-prophecy, book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 reads, "I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Verse 10,
mm-hmm.
"But none of those..." Verse 10, "For none of those things which you should suffer, behold, Satan the devil has cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you should have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life."
Mm-hmm. He said the devil going to try you. He said, but hold on. He's saying, hold on. He said, you will be tempted by the devil. But he said, you are rich. So what you are rich in is understanding. Let me see what you're rich in that he's saying there. Mother. Hey, Mother E, let's find out what is he saying that you are rich in. Let's back up to Psalm chapter 69, Mother, and we'll look at verse 4. What is you rich in? He's talking to, I know the ones that are going to be calling themselves Jews, but are not. They are the descendants of Esau. That's what he's saying. They're not Jews, because Jew come from Judah. He said, but they are Esau, perpetrating themselves as being Jews, but Jew is a corrupt word for Judah. That is a corrupt word for Judah. So, Mother E, what do we got to do that we can read, and then we come on this network 6 mics a week to do in Psalm 69, verse 4. Hey, Mother E, what do Psalm 69, verse 4 say?
The book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 4. "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hair on my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemy, wrongful, are mightier than I. Restore that which I took not away."
But he said what? He said, "I know we got enemies on every side of the six anointed camps, but we're going to restore back to you what we did not take away from you. We was only assigned to bring this to you, and we're going to bring it to you as it's brought to us." So, Mother, back up to Psalms 31, Mother, and look at verse 12 and 13. Psalms 31, verse 12 and 13. Young Lion, help me. Revelation chapter 12. Help me 9 down to verse 17, waiting on me. So Mother E, what can we read, Mother E Israel? What can we read out of Psalm 31, 12, and 13? What can we read there, Mother E?
The book of Psalms, chapter 31, verses 12 and verse 13. Verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Verse 13, for I have heard the slain of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life.
He said, I heard slander on every side. He said, we hear so much slander on every side there, Mother E. So we hear slander everywhere. And all this thing's about is taking the life. But one thing we got to understand about taking the life, do you know the power? That's what I said, one thing about Yahuwah's word. Hold that point there, young line. He says, they take counsel to try to take the life, and they would have slandered him on every side. As a matter of fact, a young lion, but Titus, what they do that Jeremiah said they do in 18, verse 18. Let's see what they do, Brother Titus. What do they do according to Jeremiah in 18, verse 18? Help those see out there, young lion.
Going to the book of Jeremiah to see it, chapter 18, verse 18. The book of Jeremiah to see it, chapter 18, verse 18. Read. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah to see it. For the law should not perish from the seer, nor the counsel of the wise, nor the word of the seer. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words.
Hear that? So they're taking counsel, Mother Z. See what they're doing, Mother Z? They're taking counsel, and what they want to do, they want to smite the old seer with the mouth. They want to, they say, what they do, we heard in the early part of Answer Machine message. You see, what they do, they say they are so discord. They'll plant in rabble rousers around you. Always ones that are bump the gum and they come skinning and grinning with you. But they really, Mother, 55, verse 20 to 23. Hey, Mother E, but really, in Psalm 55, help those see out because, you know, spirit led, you don't know where you're going, but he'll tell you in that very same hour. So, Mother, what they doing, they taking counsel right now because they know one thing, this anointed counsel of voices of the two Israelites is waking them up everywhere, calls all over the world coming in, and they want to know a little bit more, and that's very detrimentary to those that's hiding something that is not Bible-like. So in Psalm 55, Mother, take it with verse 20 to 23. Let's see can we put the thing on the wall that's skinning and grinning, Mother. Let's see how do they perform that we can read. Psalm 55, verse 20 down to verse 23. What did it say there, Mother E?
The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20 to 23. Verse 20 reads. He has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smooth than butter, but water was in his mind. His words were soft than oil, yet were they drawn swole. Verse 22. cast thy burden upon the Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 23. But thou, O Yahweh, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee.
You hear that, mother? So he's saying, mother, he said, although they on every side, they skinning and grinning, they looking for somebody they can put a couple dollars in their pocket to give me some, say something, because we got to stop this movement of this voices of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps. We got to slow it down. So we got to find somebody that can put the mouth on them. You know, just put the mouth. There's still enough accusations out there. Say they are a car thief. Telling me a car thief. He do everything. He steal cars. Let's get him on the defense. He's doing something, ain't he? And he's stealing cars. And you be flashing money in they face. Here's what you do. You be flashing money. Say, don't he steal cars? And you be watching the money, and you say, and that money begins so close to your nose and your hand, yeah, he steal cars. Do we steal identifications and use it? You study flashing money, yeah, he do that too. See? So that's how they roll. They use the same old tactics, and we fall for the same thing, and the whole purpose is to slow down this ministry that's on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, anything to try to tip over the wagon for not being revealed of their hidden hand. But one thing about it, but Yahweh said he's not going to let the righteous to be moved. That's what he said. So that's the way I look at it. So, mother, precept that to 54:17. And then I'm going to show you something, even if Yahweh shut you down on what he can do, young lion in the 11th chapter of St. John. So whatever you got, just make a note of what you got. Bring it back to my attention a little bit later. But right now I want Mother Eve to give me 54:17. See, that's what I want right now, 54:17. What did it say there, Mother?
The book.
You missed it, Isaiah.
Book.
Isaiah 4:17. So that's what I need right now, mother. 54:17.
Okay.
What do that
Isaiah. Say? The book of Isaiah, chapter 54:17. Isaiah chapter 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thus shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Yahweh, and thy righteousness is of me, said the Yahweh.
So what is he saying? He's saying by him calling the end from the beginning, he said, don't worry about the slanders on every side. Don't worry about when they plant those and flash and show them the money. They can lie like a rug, but they're not going to prosper. And see, don't get on defensive about when they lie like a rug, because they're going to do that. So let them lie like a rug. You just stay in this book. And when you make a decision, make sure your Bible supports it. Because if you're not on the scene, I'm going to show you what Yahweh can do for you, young lion. So this is the power of the almighty Yahweh. This is what he can do even if you're not on the scene. Even if he take you out. Let me show you what this man can do. Let's run to St. John chapter 11 there, young lion, Brother Titus. We're going to see the power of our mighty one. Let's see what we can read in verse number 36. We're going to St. John chapter 11, verse 36, down to verse 43. Now, take your time. Give me a little more bass there. Just put a little more bass in so you can be heard real good on YouTube and Facebook there, young line. Just breathe and give me some more bass. Bring some bass out there, young line, and take your time so they can hear what you get ready to deliver to them in St. John chapter 11. Pick it up around by verse number 36 down to 43. Come on there, young line.
All right. Beloved, righteous John, chapter 11, verse 36 to 43. John chapter 11, verse 36. Then said Yada Judah, behold, how he loved him. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have called even this man to not have died? Verse 38. Yahweh the Son, therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Verse 39. Yahweh the Son said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him, that was dead, said unto him, Yahweh, by this time he stinketh, for he that hath been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Yahweh the Son said unto her, said, I not unto you that if you would believe into the sea, the greatness of Yahweh. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Yahweh the Son lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Verse 42. And I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by I, say it, that they may believe that you have sent me. Verse 43. And when he thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
Go ahead.
Right, all the way to 43.
Keep reading. No.
Right, verse 44. Sure. Verse 44. And 40, he, that was then.
Yeah, 40. Yes, sir. Give me 44 there, young man. I'm ran back, drink some herbal tea. You sounding real good there. See, even mother said, don't leave out verse 44. Come on.
Verse 44. John chapter 11, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with the grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yahweh the Son said it to them, loose them and let them go.
Ain't that something? So you see the Almighty, that's why when we read in Revelation, be faithful to death. Because one thing about it, Yahweh will take you out. He can bring you back whenever he get ready. So you know, that's one thing about it. A lot of people can do a lot of things to you, but the Almighty allow things to happen just to show his power. He let Lazarus lay in the tomb with his, remember, all children of Israel at any burial, you would never see their face again. That's
right.
Your culture, you will never know about your culture. You think your culture is going to a funeral and looking down in a casket and seeing somebody landing there. See, that's coming from the other people. The children of Israel understand. So that's why I said we got to bring you back to your nationality and culture. Any burial, death of a children of Israel, this is how it goes. And take your time and read again how it goes in verse 44. See, once you know who you are, then you know who's not. See, we think funerals is the way we see funerals today. You walk around, you get in the line, you walk past and look down in the casket, and you go, and start, no, that don't work like that. It's from the mall, from wherever they find, wherever they get to working you over at, you go from there to the grave. It ain't no in-between standing around talking it up, no after pass, middle pass, whatever they call it, that don't work when you know who you really are as the children of Israel. Once you come up out of that coroner's office or where they got, and on rap, you got you all together, your next move is to do this according to verse 44. See, like I said, we don't know where we're going, but we're trying to show you that this is what the book's saying, what happens, you know, this is what they do. Verse 44, bring it.
John chapter 11, verse 44, read. And he that was dead came forth, bound head and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Thy father's son said unto them, loose them and let them go.
And his face was bound with a napkin. The burial, the death of the children of Israel, they want you to remember that person when you last seen them standing tall. When you see them, you don't see them at their lowest point. No, they be wrapped. You will never see their face. You never see no part of their body. That's of the children of Israel's burial. They were wrapped and put a napkin over your face. You're looking down there and saying, because you're not going to see their face, according to 11:44. Now, Yahuwah the Son says, loose him and let him go. So, Mother Eve, what did he do that we can read in Psalms 107, verse 20? And young lion, have me wisdom of Solomon 12, verse 16. Matter of fact, young lion, give me 16, verse 12, and then Mother going to have that Psalms 107, verse 20 waiting on me. Let's see what's going on. See, when we come to network, we come to teach you what this book says. And we got to get out of them ways of what we think we know, although we got degrees on the wall. Because in the Bible, you've been taught wrong. But until you had a spirit of what Paul, what kind of spirit? Oh, young lion. What kind of spirit did Paul have once he found out he was taught wrong in 1 Timothy 1:13? Let's talk about Paul's spirit. You know, Saul, the one that called Paul, let's talk about his spirit. Once he found out he was taught wrong, let's see what his response once the light was turned on Paul. Let's see was he puff daddy or puff mama. 1 Timothy 1:13, what it say?
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurer, but our day thou obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
He said he was a blasphemer and a persecutor. He said he done it all. He thought he was doing right. But he said he attained mercy from the mighty one. And then he come clean. See, you know what we do? When we find out that we've been taught wrong on every point, we try to stiff our neck. You know what I'm saying? But Yahuwah is bringing to light to you. You've been taught wrong. It's time for you to make adjustment to get up under Yahuwah's mercy. So you're not going to get up under Yahuwah's mercy with men's traditions. Once you find out you've been taught wrong, that's not the order of things, then the Bible said this is what you're supposed to do, correct it and keep it moving. Now, young lion, give me that 16 verse 12 of Wisdom of Solomon. What does it say that we can read in 16 verse? See, we got to know these things right here because you can die and Almighty can say, get on back up. You might die twice. He said, get on back up. He got the power to get you back up wherever you at. That's why you want to make sure when you make a decision, the Bible supports your decision, not your feelings. Look what it says over here in Wisdom 16, verse 12, about young lion. What does it say, young lion?
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 12. For it was neither herbs nor modifying plaster that restored them to health, but your word, O Yahweh, which healeth all things.
What did he do with Lazarus? You see what he did? He didn't. He just put that word into that cave. Lazarus, come forward. And Lazarus just broke up out of there, wrapped all up, skinned it and gritted. He said, take that stuff off of him and let him go. You see the power of your mighty one? Your mighty one, you could be laying there stretched out, dead cork. And Yahweh put that spirit, say, get up from there. And that's the end of it. So don't you want to know his program? Don't you want to know his program? We're going to tell you about his program. Your mighty one, the power he got. So mother put a precept that in 107 verse 20 of Psalm, because David was, he had this understanding from the ministering spirit that came down, what you call today, the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is talking to David. Let's see what the Holy Ghost said to David. Come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20. Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Here you do. He sent the word and healed them. See, a lot of people be trying to figure out, well, look here, Yahweh will tell you exactly what to do to get back on your feet. He sent the word and healed you. He always starts from the top and work his way down. That's how he starts. He wouldn't let no leader would go through being Teflon, not a leader of Yahweh, unless he tried the leader first. Because how you going to tell somebody you can make it, it's all right, and you ain't went through nothing? You see? You got to go through something. See, this right here, this is what we bring to the table. You got to go through something to deal with this thing. Just as they went through it, you going to go through it. So now, I don't know what you're holding you online, but let's go another direction. Let's take a look at something that we can read in Second Book of Ezra. These books were taken out from you by the protesters called the Protestant Church. They are one of the daughters of the Catholic Church, one of the sons of the Catholic Church. But they removed these books from you in 1885, and they put a name on it called the Apocrypha. So what that mean? Oh, them the hidden books. Well, how they get hid? Well, we took them away. Oh, okay, good. So in 2 Ezra, young lion, can you tell me what we got to do that we can read? In 2 Ezra, chapter 14, verse 34. Help those see out and see what we're working with. Come on.
2 Ezra, the seer, chapter 14, verse 34, read, therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, and you should be kept alive, and after death, you shall obtain mercy.
He said, you gotta conform your own mind. That means what you have learned, all the degrees you got on the wall, put that kid aside for a minute. Because all that right there can't hold up when you shine the Bible on it. But all the way you got to be reforming your mind, you have to precept that young line to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 down to verse 15. And what did that say that we can read? Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 down to verse 15. See, you got to reform your mind. Kept alive. That means what Paul get ready to precept this, you got to take it in heart what Paul get ready to show you. Philippians 3, 13 down to verse 15. What does it say there, young lion?
The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself, I have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize to the high calling of Yahweh and Yahweh the Son. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be as thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, Yahweh reveal even this unto you.
So he said, you got to forget the pain that you have once did. And you got to be looking forward and press forward for the mark that's coming. You got to forget all about how many people done you wrong and what they did and how they did. Because your job is bigger now. But what happened to, we'll get back into our feelings and we try to pull things together. But Paul said, forget the things that have once happened to you. It's time to move forward in Yahweh's word. It's time to focus in on land so we can grow our own food. It's time to focus on a school so we can teach our young ones. Banquet hall, but we can shake them up and shake them down after we are done right. You know, it's time to focus in on that. Not try to digress our brain going forward, going backwards. We got to go forward now. That's what we got to do. Because in 2nd Ezra, he's still talking there, young lion. In the 7th chapter, he made a profound statement in verse 56 and 57. And mother, help those see out because we got to be clear about the progress of the other people. They running hard on what they own. So have me Matthew chapter 4, Mother E. Have me Matthew chapter 4, 8 through 11. Then slide right on down to Luke chapter 5 through 7. Have that waiting for those here, Mother. And don't be thumbing around some papers. Have everything ready for us here in Matthew 4, 4 through 11. Be ready to stretch out when you on the clock in Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7. So now, young lion, what can we read in 2nd Ezra chapter verse 56 and 57? Listen to this, what he said. Go ahead.
The book of 2nd Ezra, this year, chapter 7, verse 56 to 57. 2nd Ezra, the seer, chapter 7, verse 56. For while he lived and committed sin, we consider not that we should begin to suffer for it after death. Verse 57. Then answered he me and said, this is the condition of the battle, which man that is born upon the earth shall fight.
So the condition of this battle right here, you have to fight. And how you start fighting your mind out of the past and keep your mind focused in on the coming. Because as long as you're looking back over your shoulder, you might turn into a pillar of salt. You got to press for that mark going forward. It's a big job waiting on us, but we got to focus on going forward. Drive, not reverse. Where I remember when. Yeah, you got to put all that remembrance wins back. And let's focus on getting the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, out.
We're going to Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 reads, then this Daniel was preferred above the president and prince because an excellent spirit was in him.
You got to have an excellent spirit in you on going for the heart, going forward. You got to understand that it's written, Mother, in Matthew chapter 4, 8 down to verse 11.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, verse 8. And again, the devil taking him up into an excellent high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then said Yahweh unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thus shall worship thee Yahweh, your Yahweh, and him only shall thou serve. Verse 11. Then the devil leave him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Mm-hmm. So you got to tell that old devil, Jesus, get on back behind me, old devil. I'm going forward. I ain't looking behind my shoulder. I'm going forward. Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7, a precept that come on, mother.
The book of Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, verse 5. And the devil taking him into a high mountain, showing unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the greatness of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give thee. Verse 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine.
Yeah. So Satan said, look here, it's mine to give, but in return you got to worship me. And that's why you got brothers and sisters doing great big old line today by flashing money in their eyes, across their nose, showing them the money to get a good lie going, to throw out some innuendos and put the tongue on the six anointed camps. But it ain't going to work as long as you step on the power of Yahweh. See, the old tactic is the same thing today. Put enough money down and they'll start speaking in tongues. Hey, Mother E, you put enough money down by their feet, and when they try to say something, they'll start speaking in tongues. That's how they start talking, looking at that money. So you got to watch them, mother. They'll do that. Now, young man, we're going to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to examine a little bit on some of this right here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's examine a little bit of this conversation. Let's keep reading until we get our point. I want to do some precept, but I don't know what I want to precept on until after I hear something. 1 Timothy 4, pick it verse 1, come on.
Book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 reads, I charge you therefore before Yahweh and Yahweh the Son, who's the judge of the quick and the dead, at his appearance and his kingdom. Verse 2, teach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teach. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will endure sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and should be turned unto fables. Verse 5, but watch you in all things, and do affliction, do the work of the evangelist, made full of your ministry. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure. Is that name?
That's a good enough. That's good enough, young line, but I want you to read like you're trying to edify the nation, not edify yourself. Read like you're trying to, for them, follow you according to this book. Don't try to edify yourself. Just edify this reading. Go to the same book in 2 Timothy and pick up verse 4:1. Same book there, young lion, but edify this national audience over 800,000 strong Facebook and YouTube. Let's see, can we edify them on what we're looking at? Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:1. What does it say?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before Yahweh and Yahweh the Son, who should judge the quick and the dead, at his appearance in his kingdom. Verse 2. Teach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove.
So wait a minute, young man. But wait a minute. Are you in 2 Timothy or are you still in 1 Timothy? Which way are you at? Where are you doing?
I'm in 2 Timothy right now, chapter 4, verse 1, I'm reading.
You didn't read 1 Timothy.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read 1 Timothy. That's
all. All right, now hold on, young man. Hold on. Don't. So you haven't read 1 Timothy, period. So now come back to 1 again and verse 1. Just take your time there, young man. Just take a deep breath before you stretch out. 1 Timothy 4:1. Remember the world, listen. Let's edify them. 1 Timothy 4:1. Let's read a little bit. Come on.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time shall come depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2,
hold on, young lion. Hold on. Be listening. Be listening a little bit. I'm going to break in on you there, young lion. Remember, you're trying to edify them, not yourself. So now in 4:1, we just got through reading. He says, 1 Timothy 4:1. So we want to examine what we're hearing here. He's saying something. This is going to happen in the latter days, and this is now. He said, what we're reading now is what's going to happen now. In the latter days. We in the latter days now. So now, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time, we're in it right now, some shall depart from the faith. That means from this word. They're going to depart from this word. And they're going to give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. I mean, they're going to let devils get in their head. He said, now this is going to happen in a lot of times. I was telling old Timothy, he said, they're going to start getting teaching and doctrines of devils. Devils going to tell them some things. Devils going to tell them don't keep the Sabbath day no more. Devils going to tell them that. No, that's done away with. Devils going to start telling you about, well, you ain't got to do that no more. That's going to be devils talking to you. See? What did verse 2 say there, young lad?
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience served with a hot iron.
He said conscience. He said conscience going to be filled with a hot iron. You can now imagine you sitting there ironing something, hey, Mother Z. Mm-hmm. You sitting there ironing something. And you just, and all of a sudden the phone rang. And you leave the iron on top of your white dress. You just leave and go answer the telephone. All of a sudden, it dawned on you, God, dog, I left that iron on top of my white garment. Now you don't feel that. Now what good is that garment anymore that sealed? No more good. And that's the conscience of people today. You showing what this Bible is saying. But their brain is sealed just like pressing it down on a white garment and go after the phone and forget about it, then come back and run over to it, and you see the iron print in the white garment. That's how their minds going to be ripped today. He said it's going to happen a lot of days, and that's how their mind is today. We come and show them direct scripture, showing you what you got to do to live to abort. But it's like talking to someone who put a hot iron on top of their garment, forgot about it, then pull iron up. I don't care what you do to that garment, you will never get that iron stain out of there. And this was going on right now. So now, what do verse 3 say there, young lion? See, let's see another sign they're going to do. Now, we're going to listen what they saying, and we're going to try to see, do we see that out of our eyes today? Verse 3.
First Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 reads, forbid it to marry, and command it to abstain from meat, which Yahweh had created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
And to be in this organization, you can't marry. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't marry. Don't you know that's the reason why that tape was played earlier? Now you got so many Catholic bishops and everything. Everybody, even the nuns, they got so many cases going on right now. Because look what you did. You take them away from what Yahweh told you, be fruitful and multiply. They can't do that. So what they going to do, you know, in their mind, you are taking away to be in your organization. You can't marry. You can't procreate. That means you got to grab hold of them little boys and the nuns grab hold to the little girls. Yeah. Because you want to break something that's written in the 20th, hold that point, young lion. No, mother. Hey, Mother E, run back to the 21st of Leviticus for a minute. Let's see, can we take a look at something? We heard the tape. That's why I asked the question, what would you start at, young lion? We heard it, and we took notes on what we heard from the answer sheet. And we found out that we heard a lot of stuff. So now you got all these cases of child abuses and everything because you're deprived them to be in your organization. You can't even be with nobody opposite of themselves. Do you kick them out? So now you got cases running down like a rug all the way outside, like because of abuses. Why can't they have a better half with them? Why? What it says in the 21:1-5, mother. Hey, mother, what can we read in Leviticus 21:1-5? Let's talk some Bible, mother. Come on.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verses 1-5. Verse 1 reads, and the Yahweh said unto Moses, speak unto the priest, the son of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his feet. Verse 2, but for his kind that is near unto him, that is for his mother, that is for his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother, verse 3, and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which has had no husband, for her may be defiled. Verse 4, but he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. Verse 5.
Hold that point. Hold that point. So he's talking about Yahweh telling Moses, tell the priest now to go get you a woman, but make sure the woman is a virgin woman, you know, and make sure your wife get you woman. Now the Catholic Church, you can't do that. But he's letting you know now, tell him go on get you a woman. He said, get you a woman now, you know, just don't be all over the place. Get you a woman that's not defiled and work with that. So that's the Bible priest. Get you a woman. Get you somebody opposite of you. And but you won't be doing the stuff that we're hearing today on that cake message. Okay? Get you somebody that's opposite of you. You see that? And what he say, mother, in verse 5? Let's see what he say. This was Yahweh is talking to Moses. And what he telling in verse number 5?
Verse 5. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5. They shall not make boldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cut in their flesh. Any cutting.
He said, otherwise, don't make baldness in your head. Now, if your hair come out, your hair come out. But otherwise, you going to the barber cutting on your hair, don't do that. He said, otherwise, don't just deliver, put a razor to your head and cut on your head. He said, don't do that. He said, and don't shave off the corners of your beard. Your beard will go from your sideburns all the way around. All and don't have nothing in between. All the way around. Don't cut in between it. That is, and don't be putting no tattoos and marks on you. But if you got them on you already, we should know not to do it because you wasn't taught nothing. So now them tattoos and all that stuff you got on you, you had them on, if you got them already, and you got to live with it. Yeah, well, I'll forgive you, but just don't put no more on you. See? So all this information we try to bring back to get up on the mercy of the Almighty on what not to do. See, when we come and tell you what not to do, it's not that we telling you what not to do. Our job is to do what the Bible's saying not to do. It tell you don't have no spirit of always looking back. Be looking for the mark that's forgetting the things that behind you. Stuff that behind you, forget that. Put that to the side. Let's press forth for the mark of the great calling. That's what he say. So now, come back to that 1 Timothy again now. Like Moses said, you never did read 1 Timothy from the get-go. Now I need a little bit more there, young man. I need something else something that you read a verse by, I think you read verse 4. So I want to do the precepting on verse 4. So let me hear verse 4 again there, young man. What it say in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. It was some precepting in that I want to take a look at it. I need to hear it again. Come on.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. For every creature of Yahweh is good, and nothing to be refused. It be received with thanksgiving.
Yeah, read verse 3.
Verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. But then it's a marriage, and commanded us stay for meat, which our Father had created, to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth.
The ones that believe and know the truth. Now, there go your precept. See, you got to believe this, but you got to know the truth. The truth is you cannot forbid no person to marry, to be with somebody opposite of them. You cannot interfere with that. And believe it, and you got to know the truth. Now, Mother, hey, Mother E, what's the truth they got to know about? In Psalms 119, Mother. As far as this truth they got to know about that we can read in Psalm 119, 142, and 160. Let's see what we can read. Hey, Mother E, what are we reading about? You got to know the truth. What truth? 119, 142, and 160. Back to back. Come on there, Mother.
Psalm chapter 119, 142. And 160.
Yes, ma'am. What that say, Mom?
Psalm 119, verse 142. 142 reads, the righteous is an everlasting righteousness, and thy love is the truth. Psalm 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endures forever.
Ain't that something? So the law is the truth, Mother. So we got to know what the law saying about you being with a mate. The law said get you a mate that looks opposite of you. You know, male and get you a female. Or a female get you a male. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You can't tell nobody coming out of them, but you gotta you can't have nobody look opposite of you. You gotta. So what's gonna happen? See? So you see, you open the door for things, but see, because you're not doing no Bible. So you gotta do Bible. You offer these Catholic Church and all this right here and all these scammers gonna came up on you because bottom line, you violating the scripture. That bishop and that cardinal, they supposed to have somebody look opposite of them. And then they'll cut down on all that stuff that's going on now that we heard in the early part of the tape. And you got to know the truth. Hey, Mother, what is that truth they got to know about? In St. John 8:32. What is that truth they got to know? See, they got to know about the truth, Mother. What is that truth that we can read in St. John 8:32?
Book of St. John, chapter 8, verse 32. Okay, look at that.
St. John 8:32. What did it say that, Mother D?
St. John, chapter 8, verse 32 reads, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You see that? So you gotta know the truth. You gotta know the truth. Back up to 14, verse 6 there, Mother E. Back up to St. John 14, verse 6. See, we come on this national broadcast. We live on Facebook. We live on YouTube. We live everywhere. Blog Talk. Hell talk, everything. Listen, and more to come. You got to know the Bible truth. You got to know that if you're going to get an organization, the Bible says that I'm supposed to have me somebody opposite of me. Then I ain't got to be worried about fumbling around with no baby's diaper and stuff like that. I won't be fumbling around with your little kids. See? You got to know that truth. And we found out that from the early part of the tape that the Catholic Church have daughters and sons that came out of them. They kept the same teaching. They just on different day probably doing the day. I got to check and see. Well, maybe somebody from Big Dignitary tell me. Do the other organization, do they have a better hand with them. I don't know. I'll find out. I know it'll get back to me. They'll let me know. Do the Protestants and all the rest of them, Baptists and everything else, do they have a better hand with them? I don't know. We'll find out later. But we know the Catholic Church, you can't have a better hand that's opposite of you. You got to make it. What's that word called? Celibate? Yeah, whatever that word called. You know, if I pronounce it,
mm-hmm.
So what? So, but we find out that all the daughters and sons that came out from under the Catholic Church. I don't know their policy yet, but I know you're going to leave a message and tell me exactly what they do. Do they get them or somebody opposite of them to be in the organization? So Mother, what you reading? They say you got to know the truth. What is the truth, Mother? 14, verse 6 of St. John. What the truth is?
St. John, chapter 14, verse 6. That's why the Son said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
So what is the truth, Mother? Who the truth is, according to 14, verse 6?
Yahweh the Son.
Who Yahweh?
See that? Now swing down to the 17th chapter there, Mother E, and read verse 17. And young lion, have me Matthew's. Now I try Romans chapter 1, verse 25. We'll read a little bit till we get our point. Hey, Mother, what are we going to read out of 17, verse 17 of St. John? What that say, Mother?
St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth.
You see that? So, Mother, we ain't trying to drop you off in no water but the water of the word. We sanctify you now with the truth of this. So that's the baptism, is this big belly full of this word from the sixth anointing account. We're trying to give you some word. This is how you get baptized. You, by understanding the word of the Bible, that he sent his word and he healed you. That's how you get healed. Now, Paul was getting ready to make an address to somebody, young line. Matter of fact, read me 5-7, then skipped out 25. Let's see what he getting ready to do. He getting ready to do something in Romans chapter 1, 5-7, then skipped out to verse 25. Let's find out some things that Paul getting ready to do that we can read. Romans chapter 1, verse 5-7, and let's get that out the way, then we'll skip down to verse 25. What did it say there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 5-7, let's skip down verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we receive mercy and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Verse 6, among who are ye also called of Yahweh the Son. Verse 7, to all that be in wrong, the love of Yahweh calls to be saints, mercy unto you, and peace from Yahweh the Father and Yahweh the Son. Get that verse.
Hold that point, young lion. So he said, he talking to all that is at Rome. So Paul is saying to all that, his message is to all that is that's at Rome. So who's the one at Rome that we can read in the 10th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3? Before we go back to verse 25, so he said he writing to all that is at Rome. So Christianity, Judaism got all, that means all, everybody. But no, but when you precept your Bible, Mother C, when you precept your Bible, it answers the question when you precept your Bible. Romans 10, 1, 2, 3, on the online, bring it.
The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, 2, 3. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And we're all baptized in Moses.
Hold on, young lad. All the mothers is jumping you. We in Romans chapter 10. Where you at? We all mother Eve, but when we catch We kept it online. Now, most of you know y'all got to beat his back. So now you might as well bring that beat the back chord and start on them young line, beat the back a little. Because they jumping out there, they're running too fast, trying to give them a pad for the big thing. So they got to be all big ears, be listening good. Romans chapter 10, 1, 2, and 3. Bring it again. Come on.
Romans chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Brethren, my mind desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Yahweh.
You see that? So Mother Z, you hear what he's doing? So he over there, he's in Rome looking for the children of Israel that's in Rome. So he's not there for everybody. He's looking for one specific people, the children of Israel that's in Rome. And let them know that you got a zeal for your mighty one, but not according to knowledge. So when you read that 1:5-7, understand he's talking to the children of Israel that's in Rome. And how we know that? By precepting to Romans 10, 1, 2, and 3. And he put a name on who he was looking for in Rome. Now, this is what he told them in Rome. Hey, Mother Z, this is what he told them in Rome. Listen to this. Verse 1:25. Come on back here, young line. Let's talk a little bit about what he's telling the children of Israel that's in Rome. He going to talk to them eyeball to eyeball and ask them a question. 1:25, let's read a little bit. Come on.
Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hold that point. So you see, the question he said, he said, what y'all doing over here, children of Israel? Hey, Mother, 1:15 verse 1, Mother, 1:15 verse 1. He said, you worship the creature more than the creator. And that's what they're doing now. They're worshiping Diana, Zeus, and everything. So what is he talking about, Mother E, in 1:15 verse 1? Help those say out in Psalm 1:15. See, we got to give glory and honor to who? 1:15 verse 1, that Mother E, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 1:15 verse 1. Not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but unto thy name, give honor for thy mercy and for thy truth sake.
Yeah. So we got to give the glory. We got to give the glory and the mercy and the honor to his name. See, when he got to Rome over there, Mother, they was over there trying to follow everybody but. And that's what Paul was sent to them to tell them, what are y'all doing over here? You got a zeal for the mighty one, but not according to knowledge. He says, you got to glory that name. You got to champion righteous that name. YHWH. So Paul was telling them that, Mother. See, now precept that to Psalms 119, Mother E. And we're going to look at verse 9 and verse 10. So that's why we have to watch them real carefully and see what they're working with. See, we get caught up with the other nations and do what the other nations do. But he's telling you plainly, you got to give glory to that name, them four letters. That's the only thing you want to worship, them four letters, YHWH, not all over the place. Psalms 119, Mother. Verse 9 and 10, what it say?
Wherewithal shall a young man please his way? From 119, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man lead his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Verse 10. With my whole mind have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment.
Mm-hmm. He said, how could a young man, a young woman clean their ways? He said, by keeping the word, that's all. That's how you get clean. By keeping the word. You want to know how to get cleaned up? Keep the word. Precept that multi Ephesians 5:26. So you want to know how to get clean? You think it's stand up on the shower and just pouring soap all down your back? You think that cleans you up? No. What gets you cleaned up is listen to the six anointed counsel of bosses of the true Israelite. That will get you cleaned up. And we're going to show you how you get clean through the word. You put off things that's behind you, and you oppress for the mark that's in front of you. The high calling. All them things that behind you, you put it off you. You don't be catching yourself drifting back down through memory lane. Whenever you find yourself drifting through memory lane, get some of this book in you, and this book will keep pressing you going forward. Forward. You can't be looking back. You got to be looking forward. Remember having the last wife turn to a pillar of salt, looking back.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Big job is looking forward. Look what Mother Israel getting ready to read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Say that, Mother.
The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
So Mother E, what cleans up a man and clean up or a woman? What cleans them up, Mother?
The word. Washing of the word. I mean,
the word.
By washing the water with the word.
That's right. Give me St. John 15, verse 3, Mother. Let's beat this a little bit more. 15, verse 3. So we got to let them know, Mother. Well, get you all cleaned up and get you out from looking behind your shoulder. You need a big better full of this word. What does it say in 15, verse 3, there, Mother, of St. John?
St. John, chapter 16, verse 3.
Well, make it 15.
John, chapter,
make it 15, 15, verse 3.
15.
1,
Saint
verse
John. 3. St. John, chapter 15, verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
So what cleans you up, Mother?
The word.
The word cleans you up. Now skip down to verse 5 and 10, Mother. You might well beat this a little bit. What about 5 and verse 10?
St. John chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 10. Verse 5 reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Hallelujah.
Verse 10.
Yeah.
If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love.
You see that? So that's what we got to stay focused in, Mama. We got to stay focused in on what this book says, not looking behind, not trying to fix something that's behind us. We got to look forward or moving forward. If a cup and fit off the zinc, you're going to bust it all up. You can't be reminiscing of that cup. Get another one to keep it going. You be more careful. Because you're going to bust that one up. That's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going forward. Come on back here online. Romans 1:25. Let's read a little bit again. With that understanding, come on.
We're going back to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of Yahuwah, the Son of life, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Verse 26. For this cause, Joshua gave them up unto vile affection. For even their woman did change the natural use unto death, which is against nature. Verse 27.
Hold that point. So you see, Yahweh will give you up. See, if you do anything contrary to nature, the way he set it up, and you violate the way he set it up, see, Yahweh is giving you up. Is that what we read? Yes. If you violate the way he set it up, you want to come up another way. Do you know what that make you be? What that make you when you want to ignore what's written in this Bible and come up another way in St. John 10:1? So you got to sit there and look at them when they want to do something by coming up another way. So what is written that you don't want to apply what the Bible saying, you want to do it some other way? What did Yahweh think about you in 10:1 of St. John? What do you think about when you want to come up another way?
The book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, very, very, I say unto you, he that enter not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Hey, Mother, you said that with conviction. That was a conviction, Mother. That's the bottom line. So, Mother, you got to watch them now. When you see them try to come up another way, and they don't want to do no Bible, they want to do it some other way, in your mind, what do that make them in your mind according to 10:1, Mother?
A thief and a robber.
Thief and a robber. Ain't that something? A thief and a robber. So don't try to rewrite what's here. And that was the world have did, Mother. They trying to rewrite what is written, and wonder why they got so much chaos going on. Because you trying to come another way. You trying to tell a man, well, no, ain't nobody look opposite of you to be in this organization. You telling the nuns, no, you can't have nuns. You got to have somebody look like you. See, you do to be with us. No, that you rewriting the Bible. You can't rewrite this Bible. Cause Yahweh, what he said again in verse 26, young line. Take your time, young line. What he says in Romans 1:26 behind trying to come up another way. What happened again? Come on.
Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause, Yahweh gave them up. It's a vile affection. But even that woman did change the natural use of the debt, which is against nature.
See? So what would Yahweh do when you violate what's against nature? What would Yahweh do for you according to verse 26 there, young lion? According to verse 26, when you violate the rules and regulations of nature, according to verse 26, what do Yahweh do for you in that verse?
He will give you up.
He'll give you up. That's just the bottom line. If he tell you the blessed day is the Sabbath day and you keeping Sunday, what Yahweh, whatever he just did, gave you up.
Gave you up.
Gave you up. Verse 27, bring it.
Verse 27, Romans chapter 1, verse 27. And likewise also the man leaving the natural use of the woman burns in their lust, one towards another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met.
So all that stuff you're doing, men with men's, women's with women's, men's grab a hold to the little boys and the women's grab a hold to the little girls, you're going to pay the price for it. You're going to pay the price. As a matter of fact, read the last two verses and tell me exactly what the price is going to be. Now, you can read the price of it right now. Hey, Mother E, tell me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, waiting on. Now, you're going to pay the price. You want to know what the price is? We're getting ready to read it right now, the price. Last two verses. Well, maybe the last three verses there, young line. Let's read the last three verses in this Romans chapter 1. It don't see the last three verses. What they say there, young line? Come on.
All right. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the last three verses. Verse 30, Romans chapter 1, verse 30. Backbiters, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient, comparing. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do this.
Oh, you mean if I'm a, if he don't approve of being what in verse 30 there, young lad? One word. First word.
Backbiter.
He said, Yahweh said he do not approve of one word. What's that one word again, is young man?
Backbiters.
He don't like backbiters. He don't like backbiters. So now, except you know, if you on the other end of the telephone and a backbiter get start getting here, you understand something. Yahweh don't like that. So you understand. One thing, you call them to do some backbiting, then we know clear Yahweh do not like backbiting. Give up the verse 29 a little bit, read a little bit. What else he don't like?
Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, miscellaneous, full of envy, murder, debase, deceit, malignity, whisperers.
Oh, so Yahweh don't like the one to get you here with that. He don't like that neither. He don't like nobody whispering somebody here. He don't like, you hear that, Mother E? He don't like the one to get in your ear, want to whisper in your ear. Yahweh don't like that neither. He don't like no whisperer in the backbiter. Is that what we're reading here?
Yes, sir.
Now look at WCC. What you saying? Sir, can you give me a precept on that? Yeah, we can give you a precept on that. And Mother E, let's run to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12, down to verse 15. And young line, pick it from 16, and we'll read a little bit to get our point. The WCC, the 500 million members want a precept. Give a precept on that. Go to chapter 12 through 14 now, Mother E. Then young line, Bob Titus going to pick it at 15 until we get our point on if that is in your papa or mama got a brand new bag, being a whisperer or a backbiter. Let's see what he got written by the wisest man in the world. Because Paul had to pull that. Saul had to pull him somewhere. Now, Mother going to take a look at it, although she holding me already something more than 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. But the WCC want a precept. Back up to the 6th chapter of Proverbs, Mother, and we look right down at 12 down to verse 14. What does it say?
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 to 14. Verse 12 reads, a natural person a wicked
naughty
man.
Naughty.
What? A naughty person. As I'm saying it right, naughty.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a foul mouth.
Forward
mouth. Okay. Verse 13. He wanketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his finger. Verse 14. Forwardness is in his mind. He devised mischief. Continually. He swore discord.
Ain't that something? Hear that, mother? Hey, mother, you hear what he say? He said, and they carve their leaves in your ear, they be always sowing discord. They always
mm-hmm.
got something negative, vital, murmurs, and complainers. And what they always do when the phone ring your way, they gonna sow discord. So now you clear that this call needs to sow discord. Remember one thing, your mighty one don't like that. They don't like that. So when you on the phone, all I'm gonna hear is some discord, murmuring and complaining. Almighty said, he said, the price you're going to pay is, we read that about a young lion in the last three verses of Romans chapter 1, verse 30 down to verse 33. So now, if you got that spirit on you, put that spirit down. Now, young lion, speaking of verse 15, we'll read a little bit.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 15. Therefore, say his calamity comes suddenly. Suddenly should be broken without remedy. Verse 16. These 16 do Yahweh hate. Yea, several are an abomination unto him. Verse 17. A proud look, a lion tongue, a hand that shed innocent blood. Verse 18. A mind that devises wicked imagination. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. Verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that sowed discord among brethren. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and forsake not the law of your mother.
Excellent.
Verse 20.
So he tells us what not to do. That's it. So he tells us what not to do. Keep, stay in the law. And those that you come in contact with, keep them in the law. Said, see, Yahweh did not approve of this back murmuring and complaining. So we're going to read again for the WCC, the 500 million members, in Romans chapter 1, verse, the last two verses there, young. Give me the last two verses for the WCC, the 500 million members. Here goes the precept on a spirit. Romans 1, last two verses says what?
Romans chapter 1, last two verses, verse 31 and 32. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, verse 32. For knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Now, what do you mean by a pleasure knowing to do them? You always got your ear to hear it. So you got to cut that stuff out your ear, because you can lose your own salvation and your blessing if you know on the internet phone it's a backbiter, murmuring, complainer. Guess what? Then you give heed to that hearing that and just look at this is not the will of Yahweh. You might direct your call somewhere else. Because if you don't, and you got pleasure in hearing the backbiting and murmuring complaining, oh, yeah, he said, look here. He got it written in, what, 5, verse 1 and 17 there, young man. What he got written that we can read? Listen to this. Listen to what he's saying now. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. Here go the precept. See, the precept, Yahweh will bring you the precept. So all you got to do is ask for the precept. We'll give you the precept. So go on Leviticus chapter 5 and see where that's coming from. Verse 1 and 17, young line, bring it out.
Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 17. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. Then if they so sin, and hear the voice of swear, and if they witness, whether he or she have seen or known of it, if he or she do not utter it, then he or she shall bear his sin. Verse 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yahweh, though he wish it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his sin.
He's right here. He knows that the person on the other end is backbiting, murmuring, and complaining. And you listen to it, he said you just as guilty as they are. So there it is right there. Mm-hmm. Where you find that at? Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. Now, mother give it to tell you something that Paul was telling the Corinthians in 6, verse 9 and 10. Now, watch mother eat, take care of his business. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Watch your mother Eve deliver the knockout blow. Come on, mother.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, but not deceived, neither fornication, nor adultery, nor effeminate, nor
effeminate.
Abuse,
mm-hmm.
nor abuse of themselves with mankind. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor robbers, nor exhortation.
Extortioners
shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. That's big
talk, mother. So mother's plain now. So now we have to be able to help those that have that kind of spirit. And let them know what you bring to the table is gonna get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. Now if I can't correct you according to scripture, then you have to kind of bag away from me because I don't want to be in of what you're going to end up at. So he said it's not going to work. Matter of fact, young lion, read that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11 real quick, one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Because, see, we got to make sure we're clear because we got a big job ahead of us. They're calling all over the world. You got to know the rules and regulations. You got to know it before you, so you get prepared now. So listen to it. Paul is talking to the Israelites. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen real good. Come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians mm-hmm. chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners should inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of Yahweh by the Spirit of our Yahweh, Yahweh the Son.
Excellent, Hey, Mother, he had me Deuteronomy 6:25. See, Paul come to clean them up. Now, how do you by letting them know what the scripture says. Let them know what the word of Yahweh is saying, the four-letter man. That's how you clean them up. You don't clean them up by putting water in their pampers and all that stuff. No. You got to go and get them a big bowl of washing by the word. Let them know if all these spirits is on you, you ain't got nothing coming. I don't want them spirits on me after I enlighten you that the backbiting tongue, the murmuring and complaining tongue, if I listen to it, I'm just as guilty as you. What you got coming automatically, I'll mess around and crapped out. I'm going to the fire too. By being a ear hustler. Oh, yeah, that happened. Yeah, you will be just as guilty as they is, the one that's in your ear, murmuring, complaining, and backbiting. Because you let that spirit get off on you and your ear on the other end of that telephone listening. So we read in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 16, you're going to pay the price as the one that is the perpetrator of it by being the listener to it. So you got it? Good. So you got it? Real good. So when I get called, what I say, I got my book. What scripture you want me to turn to? Or I say, the message on the answer machine, I'll play it back, let everybody hear at the same time. I'm not giving you no combat. I'm going to make sure everybody here together. You're not going to get me off into backbiting and complaining because I know that's against Yahweh's will. So my ear is set on it. So when I do get the call, oh, well, what steps are you going to be turning to? See, that's set them down. Oh, I ain't got no scripture. What you getting ready to do then? Well, I want to do a little backbite. Well, you call the wrong person on the backbite, because if I listen to that, I'm just as guilty as you are, and I'm going to get caught up too. I want my salvation. This man ain't going to do what he say he's going to do in his book. So I know that I got to clean you up through the word. And the word say I can't receive backbiting, murmuring, and complaining. Do I'm just as guilty as you are. See? Now, Mother E, what are we reading out of Deuteronomy 6:25?
Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness that we observe to do all these commandments before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
So, Mother E, Facebook, YouTube, Blog Talk, Pair Talk, would you tell the national audience what is our righteousness, Mother? Let's get in the microphone and make it plain. What is our righteousness?
The first five books of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the commandments.
That's our righteousness. Excellent.
Yeah, well.
And in Matthew 12, Mother. Hey, Mother E, what do Matthew 12, verse 8 tell us? In Matthew 12, verse 8.
Okay. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8 reads, "For the Son of Man is Yahweh, even of the Sabbath day."
So, Mother, what day is Yahweh is over? What day did he be peeping down on you on? What day is he the Yahweh to you on? What day?
The seventh day.
The Sabbath day.
day is what he's Yahweh. See, that first day of the week, that Sunday keeping is not from Yahweh. That's from Satan the devil. That's up to you. You can continue to do it, but Yahweh's not in it. What you say, Latter-day Saints? Here, give me a precept on that. Well, okay. They think you want to... Hey, Mother, go to Mark chapter 2. Mother.
Yahweh.
And give me Testament 28. And young lion had me Luke chapter 4, 14 through 20 waiting on. So when they ask for a precept, you know, it's no problem. So that's how you understand through the precept. So Mother E is getting ready to read the precept of Matthew 12:8 by reading Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. We're going to get a Latter-day Saints a precept. What did it say there, Mother E?
Book of Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and verse 28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is Yahweh also of the Sabbath.
So, what day is Yahweh over, Mother? According to Mark 2:27 and 28, is he Yahweh over every day? Or do we have a specific day that we can read?
The Sabbath day.
We have a specific day.
The Sabbath day.
And when is the Sabbath day? When do the Sabbath day start? And when do it end?
When the sun go down on Friday evening to the sun go down on Saturday evening.
Excellent. That's what he Yahweh over. When the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. That's what he's Yahweh over. All them other days you worship him on, you worshiping Satan the devil himself. Yeah? So there it is right now. Now, we gonna watch him. He don't just talk a good game. He lives a good game. Luke chapter 4, young lion, 14 down to verse 20. Let's see what's going on that we can read.
The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14 to 20. Luke, chapter 4, verse 14. And Yahweh the Son returned into the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region, round about. Verse 15. And he taught in their temples, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And his custom was he went into the temple on the Sabbath day for the stood up for to read. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the seer Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written. Verse 18. And the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he anointed me to teach the covenant to the poor, that he might sit me to heal the broken mind, to teach deliverance to the captives, and recover of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to teach the acceptable year of Yahweh. Verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them were in the temple, were fasted on him.
Ain't that something? So he said, and what he says, since he had all ears and eyes on him, that young man, what he say in verse 21?
Verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that? Hear that? So, Mother, what we doing? We fulfilling scriptures in the air. We bring it back to you. Remember, it's up to you. We let you know what the man is saying. Now, Mother E, We let him know what the man is saying. Now, what this man saying in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37, verse 40. Hey, Marie, so we read what the man's saying. So what he's saying that we can read in Numbers chapter 15, make it Numbers 15, 37 down to verse 40. What can we read, Mo?
Book of Numbers chapter 15, okay, verse 37 to 40. Let me get there. Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 to 40. Verse 37 reads, "And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout that generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue." Verse 39. "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring." Verse 40, "that you may remember and do all my commandments and be righteous unto your Yahweh."
Mm-hmm. So when you ran the fringes, it's a reminder of you that you were righteous in him. But, and the fringes will talk to you and remind you when you start drifting off to the left or to the right. Them fringes will talk to you and tell you, hey, the children of Israel, you know you get ready to lean the wrong direction. Fringes will talk to you. That's why he told you to put it on you. Nothing to do with your color. He said the children of Israel, bid them, order them to put on fringes. Now, precept that mother in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 and verse 12. And young lion, have me Exodus 28 with the precept on verse 41 and 43. Have me a precept waiting on me. Because people have a tendency to read this and don't get all of it. But the only way you don't get the proper understanding, you got to precept your Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy's mother, verse 5, let's read verse 5 to get warmed up. What we're going to do, we're going to precept verse 5 with the young lion in 28, verse 41 to 43. Then you will come back and read verse 12. But let's get 22, verse 5 to get understanding first what he's talking about through the precept. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, what does it say, Mother?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse 5. "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh."
Mm-hmm. So we got to find out what pertains to a man that a woman should not put on. We got to find out, but how you find out anything, through the precept. Let's find out what a woman do not supposed to have that pertains to a man that we can read. You got to precept your Bible to see what you're talking about. And young lion, going to Exodus 28, verse 41 through 43, and let's find out exactly on 191 accord what is you talking about in the book we just read, 22 verse 5. "The woman should not wear that pertain to a man, neither should a woman man put on a woman's garment." So what is this man thing that a woman should not supposed to have? No talking precept. Let's go to Exodus 28, young man, 41 down to verse 4. Let's see what the Bible say with precept. Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 41 to 43. Exodus chapter 28, verse 41. "And you shall put upon them, upon Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, And you shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Verse 42, you shall make them linen breeches to cover the nakedness from the loins even to the thigh they shall reach. Verse 43, and they should be put, and they should be upon Aaron and upon his son when they come in unto the temple of the congregation of Israel, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the righteous place, that they bear not sin and die. It should be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him.
Mm-hmm. So read verse 42 again there, young lion, 42 again, and mother, read me 22 verse 5 of Deuteronomy again, and you fill in the blanks. We want mother either fill in the blanks after the young lion read verse 28, verse 42. Read verse 28, verse 42. And mother going to fill in this blanks right here in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, and the seal going to be all ears. Come on.
Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. And you shall make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loin even to the thigh they shall reach.
Now who was this for in verse 43 there, young lion? Read verse 43. Who are these breeches, or the new word called pants, for according to verse 43?
Exodus chapter 28, verse 43. And they should be upon Aaron and upon his son when they come into the temple of the congregation, and when they come near to the altar to minister in the righteous place, that they bear not sin and die. It should be a statue forever unto him and his seed after him.
Forever, huh? So when you come into war, you're supposed to make sure you apply what is forever. So a man on man do not walk into the temple of Yahweh with only a woman's dress or undergarment, you don't do it. A woman do not walk into the temple with a man, what, mother? Now read 22 verse 5. So when you come in the temple, you don't do that, according to 22. Now, mother, you take your time and you fill in the blanks, and the young lion going to be all ears to make sure you pull it off in grand style. So what's going on just 22 verse 5? You break it down, and the young lion will be right there to make sure it comes out real smooth. Come on.
The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. A man's pants, neither shall the man put on the woman's garment, the woman's dress, and right. For all that do so,
Yahweh,
is abomination unto the Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Uh-huh. So now, mother, you've broken down and you had a great approval of the young lion. So you broke it down saying when it's temple time, temple business, when a man walk in the temple, he should not have on what?
A woman's garment.
And what is that today?
A dress.
And what is a woman's garment today? A dress. So a man should not walk into the temple of Yahweh with no dress on. Now, the woman, when she comes to the temple, what about her?
She shouldn't have on pants. She should have on a dress. A skirt. Not pants.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But if they want to not do it, what do Yahweh think about that in verse 5, mother? Now read the whole verse. Now if they want to not do so, but see, remember,
They don't know this until we inform them. Remember, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13, he did it because he didn't know. But once the light turned on, he knew he had to make it. So a lot of them don't know, mother. That's why we call on the network and say, we're here to tell you what the Bible's saying. It's up to you to make adjustments according to the Bible. That's all. So now we clear when they come in different from that, we're supposed to tell them that that's not what Yahuwah wants to happen, because in Yahuwah's eyesight is a what, according to verse 5? 22 verse 5, I'm going to read the whole verse and tell us what do Yahuwah think about it. Verse 5. Go and read it out, mother. Go ahead and read it out.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear pants, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, a dress. For all that do so are abomination unto the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah.
Yahuwah.
Oh, see, over here drinking, he's drinking up the hot herbal tea. He don't got happy because you delivering a knockout blow, mother. See, remember, we here to help. We want to see all get into the kingdom. But we got to forget the things that's behind us and for the mark that's in front of us. Once we turn the light on you, make adjustments according to the light of his word. Verse 12. Come on, mother.
Verse 12. Thus shall make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vest, where we have cover thyself.
So, and when you got your dress or your garment on, it should have fringes on it. And how far should it go down, mother? According to verse 12, how far should it go down? When you got your dress on, how far should it go down? Should it be right past, drip above your knees? How far is it supposed to go down according to 22 verse 5?
Okay. 22 verse 5.
According to 5, how far should it go down according to verse 12?
Okay. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their dress, where we have that cover ourselves to the down to the ankle. Yes.
Are we all close?
Three, five.
So if we decide not to obey that according to the and Zephaniah 1:6-9, what got coming when it's said and done? You pay the law, no, never mind, young lion. So we go to Zephaniah chapter 1, Zephaniah 1:6-9. What's the price that you're going to pay to come by? And what he's saying, no, never mind. Now, if you got a job that you have to wear, okay, fine, you got to do that. But once you come off that job, you go into your locker room and put on your dress with your fringes on and go on about your business. Huh? See? We understand that. But I work, but I got to jump over fences. Okay, put on your pants, go jump over fences. But once your job is over with, pants be put back in that locker, and you put on your dress with your fringes on and go on about your business. Now you're up on the wheel of Yahuwah. See? We understand you got to make ends meet. But I understand one thing. You got to do it by Yahuwah. If you want his blessing, then find what the Bible saying and apply the Bible. Zephaniah 1:6-9, young lion, what the penalty of it or is a blessing of it, we'll find out by looking at Zephaniah 1:6-9.
The book of Zephaniah, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6-9. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 6 reads, and them that are turned back from Yahweh, and those that have not sought Yahweh nor inquired for him. Verse 7, hold your peace at the presence of Yahweh, for the day of Yahweh is at hand, for Yahweh had prepared a sacrifice. He had been his guest. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Verse 9, in the same day also will I punish all those that leap on threshold which fear their master houses with violence and deceit.
Mm-hmm. You say, I'm gonna get him. Hold on there, Mosea. I got you, Mosea. You coming up in a second. Hold on there, Mosea. I see Mosea said, listen, still, he's too long. When is my turn? I'm ready to get in that microphone. Hold on there, Mosea. And First John, that young line, chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 5, we're going to bring Mother Z. She could address this national audience on what the Almighty gave her. Or might you make a comment on what she heard? We don't know. We'll find out after the young line look at First John 2, 3, chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 5. What did it say, that young line?
Go to First John in the back of the book, First John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. First John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him, and we keep his commandments, his Torah instruction. Verse 4. He that said, I know him, he keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him or her. Verse 5. For whosoever keepeth his word in him, truly is the love of Yahweh perfect. Hereby we that we are in him.
Mm-hmm. He said, you got to keep what when something brought to you. Remember Paul in that 1 Timothy 1:13, he thought he was doing right. But once he found out he was wrong, hey, Mother E, when he found out he was wrong, what did Paul say when he found out he was wrong? See, when you find out you're wrong, what are you supposed to do that you can read? And we're going to bring Mother Z in behind this. Hey, Mother E. So when you find out that you're wrong, you've been so wrong, everything you learned is wrong, what are you supposed to do that you can read? We're going to the book of Acts chapter 8, Mother. We're going to look at one verse, Mother. We're going to take a look at one verse. Yes, ma'am. We're going to look at one verse. We're going to see when you find out that you is wrong, what do you do that we can read? Let me look in Acts chapter 8, Mother. We want one verse. So once you, remember Paul said, in ignorance, I did. I thought I was doing wrong. I didn't know I was doing wrong. So now Paul said one thing to Yahweh once he found out that he was wrong on the way. In Acts chapter 8, he made a profound statement, Mother. And one minute. Thank you, that Mother Z. That's chapter 9. Thank you, Mother Z. Chapter 9. See, Mother Z said, no, sir, you out of order again. Chapter 9. Okay, good. I'm out of order again. All right. Verse 6. 9, verse 6. Good enough. 9, verse 6. What did it say? Thank you, Mother Z. Chapter 9, verse 6. Now, once you find out that you have error, what answer are you supposed to come out your mouth? 9, verse 6. Come on, Mother.
Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And he trembled as astonished, said, Yahweh, what wilt thou have me to do? And Yahweh said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.
Ain't that something? See, when you find out you in error, what you want to do is correct your error by asking anointed leadership, well, what can I do? Then we'll show you in the Bible what to do. So we've been taught wrong, but we got to come clean with 1:13 saying, I did it in ignorance. I thought I was doing right, but I found out I was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that when you come to the temple of Yahweh, that you're supposed to have on, anyway, but when I come to the temple of Yahweh, 6 anointed camps, if I'm a female, I'm supposed to have on a dress with fringes on it. If I'm a male, I'm supposed to be having on, I'm supposed to be making sure I got on what I need to have on, the fringes on. So now we know. So what we do, we don't murmur, complain. We just make the adjustment. Because you want all the blessing and the mercy of Yahweh, and he'll give it to you. And that's why we call this airways, to show you we have error, but as long as we got breath and we can hear, let's make adjustment, because we need our blessing. And hopefully we can get some James 5:20 to help others. Because you want all the James 5:20 you can get, which we're not going to read. Now, the best part of this broadcast that I like, Joe C like, when Mother Z come on and address this national audience. Now, the national audience is over 800,000 strong. Not only that, YouTube is listening. Facebook is listening. Talk radio is listening. So, Mother, the light is bright, Mother Z. So take your time to address this national audience all over the world. Mother E. Mother Z, tribe of Yahweh Judah. That's why I beat you, that's C. Roy.
Yeah, well, bless and keep you, still, Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, Mother, you heard a lot now. You heard a lot. Now, if you want to address some of that, that's fine. But Yahweh, when you take it another way, that's fine with me. I'm just going to run back and drink some herbal tea. Take your time. Remember one thing. The world is listening. Come on.
I'm going to read in Psalm about righteousness. I'm going to start reading in Psalms chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. Verse 6, for the Yahweh knoweth, the way of the righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then I'm going to read Psalm over in Psalms 37, and I'm going to read 16 and 18. Psalm chapter 37, verse 16. A lover that a righteous man has is better than the rich of many wicked. Verse 18. The Yahweh knoweth the day of the unrighteousness, and their inheritance shall be forever. And I'm going to read, I'm going to go back to Genesis and read Genesis chapter 18 and 23. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 23. And Abraham dwelt near and said, will thou also destroy the righteousness with the wicked?
I don't know that word, per, I don't know, P. Predator, thus the full, yes. 50 righteous within the city, while there also, will thou also destroy and not spare the place of the 50 righteous that are in therein, that be verse 25, that be far off you,
that be far from thee,
be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteousness with the wicked, and that the righteousness shall be as the righteousness with the wicked, and that the righteousness shall be as the wicked that be far off, far from you,
far from thee,
shall not the judge of all the earth do righteousness, verse 26. And the Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place of place for thou sakes. Verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken up me to speak unto the Yahweh, which am but dust as ashes. And ashes. Verse 28. Predator, you shall like, predator, I can't say it, thus shall like five of the 50 righteous would you destroy all the city of light of five? And he said, if I find that 40 and five, I will not destroy it. Verse 29. And he spoke unto him, yea, again, and said, Peradventure, you shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And I don't want to stop where I read 30 cups. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak for adventure. Thou shall 30 be found there, and he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And I'll stop right here. It's some more about it, but I'm going to stop reading at verse 30 and say, Hallelujah, Kwa.
Hallelujah, Kwa.
Hallelujah, Kwa.
Hallelujah,
Kwa.
Hallelujah. Excellent, Mother. That's excellent. We got the message.
Right.
Spiritually, we all heard it. You made it. That's what it's all about. So we come on this network to show you some things that can help you if you got ear to ear. Now, Mother E, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 down to verse 20 and 23. Backed up with the young lion in Exodus 3, 14 through 18. Listen real good. Mother E, Genesis 2, 18 down to verse and 23. What does it say?
18 to 23.
Yeah, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 down to 20, then skip verse 23. And young lion had me Genesis 3, 14 through 18 waiting on me.
Okay, Genesis. Okay, Genesis. Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 20, and verse 23. Verse 18. And the Yahweh said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse 19, and out of the ground, the Yahweh formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see whether he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
So Mother, where did woman, what did woman come from?
From man. From Adam.
Oh, woman came from man. Ain't that something? Woman came from man. That was the book saying, Mother.
Mm-hmm.
So woman came from man.
Mm-hmm.
So what? 19 now. Verse 19.
Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, and out of the ground Yahweh formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
Mm-hmm. So the Almighty gave Adam the power that whatever he said, Adam, is that the end of it, Mother?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
According to 19, when Adam got through talking, was that the end of it? He gave Adam the power to start the conversation and end it. Is that what we're reading in verse 19?
Yes, and Adam gave names to all the fowls of the air, to all the beasts, the lumps.
And when you got through naming everything, was that the end of it?
No, he named the woman.
Yeah, so when Adam called it, that's the end of it. Is that right, Mother?
Hallelujah.
When Adam got through talking and whatever Adam did, according to Yahweh, is that the end of it, Mother?
Yes.
According to 19. Is that the end of it?
It's it.
Anybody go stay out on it? According to verse 19, is that the end of when Adam say he got the power from Yahweh to name everything, and whatever Adam called the name of it, that's the way it is. So that means that's the end of it, ain't it?
Right. And the Yahweh.
Right, huh? Is that what we're reading? Now, so you got to make sure when you got a Adam over you, you got to make sure your Adam is what kind of way, mother? And the woman got to make sure they got an Adam over them. Sarat 37, verse 12. So what kind of Adam should you have? Because his duty is to make the first word and the last word. So what kind of Adam that you supposed to have on the pillar between the sheets or sitting at the dinner table in 37 verse 12? This is where we mess up. And 37 verse 12, let's talk about this Adam man. Come on.
So Book of Sirach, chapter 13. 12.
Yep, 37 verse 12 in the closing statement. Let's see what 37 verse 12 say. Remember, no class tomorrow on Tuesday. We're back on our ways again Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So, mother, according to 37 verse 12, we got to make sure we have what kind of Adam?
37 verse 12. The book of Sirach, chapter 37 verse 12. But he continues with the Yahweh man, whom thus knowest, to keep the commandments of the Yahweh, whose mind is according to thy mind and his, and we are sorry with thee if thus shall mistake.
So we know that the man Adam must be at the front of things, getting the first and last word. So the woman better make sure that the Adam she get be what kind of man, according to 37 verse 12, mother? What kind of man do the woman she have with her? Because he gonna have the first and last word. So what kind of man, according to Sirach 37 verse 12, she should be looking for?
A Yahweh man.
That you know that do what? A Yahweh man that you know that do what?
Whom thus knowest to keep the commandment, the first five books of Moses.
Ain't that something? Excellent, mother. So to say the same thing, mother. So, see, what happens with these young ladies and these old ladies, too, they go get Happy Jack or Slick Rick. And they wonder why they catch so much problems, because they forgot to learn that the man that you get with, he going to be over you. Make sure it's a Yahwali man that you know that keep the law. If he keep the law, you're going to be all right, because everybody's going to be in order by the law. Total State of Mother, you on the clock. Come on. Catch your hands tonight at 6 o'clock.
Thank you, praising Yahweh for the class. Thank you, praising Yahweh for being in the class. And thank you, praising Yahweh for the teachers and all that listen at the class. And I'm going to say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Continue the class.
Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. And hold on, Moses. And Mother E says, hold on. Because, see, the reason why we in such a problems and our mind always drift back, because we make the wrong decisions. Make sure you get you a Doc Wally man that you know, because you're putting the eyeball on him, that keep the law. Now, that young line and Brother Titus and 1:5-6. And some of us, we got to know. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Bring a young lion, come on.
All right, we're going to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Going to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the court of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and the orders of Yahweh, blameless.
So when you get a mate, you got to make sure the mate and yourself both on the same page. You can't just get a mate and don't find out what this mate mind is on. His mind can be on magic somewhere. So you don't have nothing in common but between your cheeks for 2 minutes. Make sure you got a Yahwali man. The man got to make sure he got a Yahwali woman. You both got to be on the same page. That's the marriage or relationship of success. You both got to be on the same page. If you're not on the same page, a house, a family divided, it's not going to stand. It's always going to be some trouble in that. So now Ezra grabbed a hold to that young lion in 2 Ezra 6:54. What was said that we can read in 2 Ezra by the old seer? Because he's going to reflect back on that Genesis conversation and 6:54 and what he said. 2 Ezra 6:54. What did the seer say? Come on.
2 Ezra, the seer, chapter 6, verse 54. And after these, Adam also, who you made Yahweh of all your creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom you have chosen.
So Adam was made Yahweh, according to Genesis 2:18-19. He got the first
Yahweh
word and the last word. Order,
Yahweh.
So you got to protect women's. Make sure you get you a Yahwali man that you know to keep the covenant. And if he keep the covenant, this is how he going to treat you, according to Tobit chapter 8, verse 4-8. This is how he going to automatically treat you if you get a Yahwali man to keep the covenant. How he going to treat you? Tobit chapter 8, 4-8. What it say?
The book of Tobit chapter 8, verse 4-8. Tobit chapter 8, verse 4. And after that, they were both shut in together. Tobias rose out of bed and said, "Sister, arise. Let us pray that Yahweh will have mercy on us." Verse 5. Then began Tobias to say, "Blessed are you, O Yahweh of our fathers, and blessed is your righteous and great name forever. Let heaven bless you and all your creatures." Verse 6. You made an Adam and gave it to him Eve, his wife, for an helper. And state of them came mankind. You have said, "It is not good that man should be alone. Let us make unto him an aid like himself." Verse 7. And now, O Yahweh, I take not this, my sister, for lust, but uprightly, therefore mercifully ordained that we may become aged together. And she said with him, "Hallelujah, Yahweh."
She said, "Hallelujah, Yahweh." See, that's when you know you're both on the same page. Surah 36, 22 down to verse 24. Surah 36, 22 to 24. So listen, women, don't just get a man because he got 14 shoes on or a washboard stomach. Because he can be a Christian, he can be a maniac with a long check. Make sure he's a Yahwali man that you know that keep the commandments, the law. Then, when he make a decision, you're going to be him saying, "Hallelujah, Yahweh." Because it's his call to have the first word and the last word. But his first word and the last word is upon the power of the Almighty Yahweh. Sirach 36, 22 down to verse 24 says what?
Sirach Tasir, chapter 36, verse 22 to 24. Sirach 36, verse 22. The beauty of a woman cheers the countenance, and a man loveth nothing better. Verse 23. And there be kindness, meekness, comfort in her tongue. Then is not her husband like other men. Verse 24. He that getteth a wife, begetteth a possession, and help like himself, and a pillar of rest. Hallelujah.
A pillar of rest, not a pillar of hair razor. When you get your better half, it will be a pillar of rest. Sirach 26, 19 down to verse 21. Sirach 26. So when you get your better half, make sure you get a pillar of rest. Not somebody always look on the side of your head, ain't nothing but a hair razor to you. That's out of the scripture. That's why you both got to be on the same page. Sirach 26, 19 to 21. Listen good.
Sirach to see chapter 26. Verse 19 to 21. Sirach 26, verse 19. My son, keep the flower of your age time. Get not your strength to strangers. Verse 20. When you have gotten a fruitful possession through all the fear, sow it with your own seed. Trust is in the goodness of your stock. Verse 21. So your race, which you leave it, should be magnified, having the confidence of their good descent.
Tobit chapter 4, 8 down to verse 12. Tobit 4, 8 to 12. He said, now, when you get a better head, make sure it's coming out of your own nationality and culture. Don't be jumping around getting somebody from a group of peoples. Make sure it's in your nationality, it's in your culture. Both of y'all on the same page, that makes the success of a relationship. Don't get somebody outside of your nationality. That's why you got to know who you are. Case in point. We're going to Tobit chapter 4, 8 down to verse 12. Listen to the young lion bring it out. Come on.
The book of Tobit chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Tobit chapter 4, verse 8. If thou hast abundance, give alms accordingly. If you have but little, be not afraid to give according to that little. Verse 9. For you layest up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity. Verse 10. Because that alms do deliver from death, and suffer not to come into darkness. Verse 11. For alms is good, is a good gift unto all that give it, in the sight of Yahweh the Most High. Verse 12. Beware of all order, my son, and chiefly take a wife of your seed of your father, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of your father's tribe. For we are the children of the seed, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Remember, my son, that our fathers were beginning, even that day, all married wives of their own kindred, and were blessed in their children, and their seed should inherit the land.
Genesis chapter 3, 14 through 18, a closing statement, catch y'all Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Genesis chapter 3, 14 through 18, and young lion, close it out on your end. Come on.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And Yahweh said it to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field upon your belly. Should you go, and dust should you eat.